This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. It's my pleasure to welcome Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History back with us. Randy, what was that music that we just heard?
Well, that was from a musical group called The Group, formerly known as the Dan Blocker Singers. Young people in the 60s out in Los Angeles who would play clubs and were actually on some variety shows. And they met Dan Blocker, who, as you know, was Hoss on
Bonanza.
The Bonanza show, yes. And they became the Dan Blocker Singers and toured around and sort of became disenchanted with Hollywood and the life out there and wanted something new, and ended up moving to Arkansas to see. They heard a lot of good things about Arkansas and wanted to see what it was like here and see what sort of opportunities they could have. They were led by a young man by the name of Dixon Bowles. And it was, for lack of a better term, a commune. It was a group of, but it was also a business commune. At the time, they were singers and entertainers. But Dixon Bowles talked to KATV about the philosophy of this organization that he called The Group.
Specifically, we're trying to find, or I won't say we're trying to find, I think we have succeeded in finding. At this point, we're trying to make viable a mid-ground between two cultures now, what has come to be called the establishment and what has come to be called the third world movement or the hippie movement or whatever other words might be appropriate. In other words, these two polarized extremes. And our task, as we have seen it, has been to find the mid-ground, feeling that the extremes of materialism, you know, is not good, and neither is the extreme of nihilism. And our task has been to find a mid-ground that was managed to salvage the constructive aspects of the of what, I hate those redundant phrases, but the establishment, to salvage the best part of that and to salvage the best part of what is up and coming, you know, with the new culture, and avoid the radical extremes of both.
It was Dixon Bowles, who was the leader of The Group, who started a singing group, but then became much more, and they had, well, we hear more in these archives from the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We hear more about what their, I don't know, group philosophy was.
Well, I'd have to say that most of the problems that the society outside will have here too. And interrelationships, sometimes personal conflicts. But the thing that is so good about The Group is that nothing passes by. If there is a personal conflict, we try to resolve it immediately, either by direct conflict or confrontation, mm-hmm. or through a third person. And it's usually resolved.
That was Dixon Bowles' wife, his ex-wife. And, you know, keep in mind, this is 1970. Mm-hmm. So it had sort of, you know, a hippie philosophy, it sounded like. But these folks were, you know, far from hippies.
Right.
You know, their drugs were prohibited. And as they called it back then, free love was prohibited in The Group. But one of the members talked to Channel 7 about, you know, the first impressions that they would receive from people when they would come to rural Arkansas.
The first reaction normally is that we're a bunch of hippies. But after people get to know us and become involved with us, they find out that that's not only the furthest thing from the truth, but is really almost comical that they would have assumed that in the first place. When we first moved to Arkansas, a lot of people came out to see the hippies. A truckload of people came out one Sunday to see the hippies, and they weren't to be found.
You mentioned they came to rural Arkansas. Where exactly were they?
Well, they ended up leasing. They were on the Big Piney for a little while, but they leased the lodge on Mount Magazine. and came up and started running the lodge. So they ended up evolving from entertainers to entrepreneurs. They ran the lodge completely, but Dixon Bowles' brother Clayton sort of explains his involvement in the group.
I originally joined just to be in show business. Now, since then, of course, my viewpoint had completely changed because, of course, we're no longer in show business. I enjoy entertaining as such, but as far as the show business aspect,
that's no longer the objective, or at least your goal.
No, not at all. The aims of the group are quite a bit different now than they were at the times of show business. It's a much more personal thing. It's not so much out for money, you know, and that kind of thing.
So this is the lodge on Mount Magazine. Now, it's not the lodge that exists there now that's run by the state park system. This was something else.
Right. This was just a lodge on the mountain. There wasn't a whole lot up there. It wasn't a state park. But they ran this from top to bottom. They cleaned the rooms. They ran the restaurant. They even had a dinner theater there. And so some of the members, you know, might be come out of the kitchen or come from serving tables, and they'd get up on the stage and do a show. And Jim Pitcock from KATV went up and spent a few days there interviewing and doing stories. And he had these thoughts about the dinner theater.
They had a dinner theater, I think, 5 or 6 nights a week. And the people in Logan County, Paris, Boonville, even as far away as Fort Smith, I mean, they filled the place. The nights we were there, there were no empty tables. It was full both nights. And we interviewed several of the people in the audience. And they had driven over from Paris and I think I remember interviewing some folks from Van Buren, and I think a couple of people had come up from Russellville, and they were on the mountain. They were at Mount Magazine for, I think, a couple of years, and it was a hard life because at the time, they didn't have a water source on top of the mountain, and they had a truck which they converted into a water tanker, and a couple of members of the organization would drive down to Paris a couple of times a day, and they would bring the water back up, and they had to have enough water to take care of the rooms that they were leasing every night, and also take care of the folks who were living there, members of the group. And then, of course, they also had to have enough water to take care of the restaurant.
It's former KATV News Director Jim Pitcock talking about the time he spent covering, watching, reporting on the group when they were in Logan County. How many members? Do we know how many folks made the trip into Arkansas?
Well, I think at the beginning, there were probably about 60 to 80.
Wow.
Yeah, there were quite a few. And they all, of course, had assigned jobs, but they varied. And like I say, some would entertain, or some would clean rooms, or some would cook. And they would switch off. And they all had a great work ethic. As one of the members here says.
A lot of people, I think, might view it as an escape when they first come here. They see it's a situation where you don't have to go to a day job that you may not like. You're always going to be with friends. You're going to be with nice people. And it doesn't, that idea doesn't last long. There's more work that goes on here internally as well as externally than is ever called for. And those people that have the illusion that it's going to be an escape either leave very quickly or go through a tremendous change.
All right, so the group, as they're column by the time they're in the lodge at Mount Magazine. I mean, obviously they're not at Mount Magazine now. What happened?
And they're actually the group incorporated at this point. They're like a financial commune, and they do a lot of work. They campaigned for Winthrop Rockefeller. They did work for him up on Petit Jean, and they were beginning to get very involved in the community in that area. And then tragedy, I guess double tragedy, struck in the same week, as Dixon Bowles explains here.
It's probably been the most, definitely it has been the most dramatic year of our 7 years. We started the year off in February, February 5th, after closing Magazine for the season. February the 3rd, I think it was, Mount Magazine Lodge burned down. And in an hour and a half's time, the thing that we had had all of our hopes pinned to at that time was gone, just completely gone. And this was really a blow, you know, and we recovered from it pretty quickly. Had a meeting about it, trying to determine where we would go from here, you know, in light of that calamity, what did it now mean in terms of the economic support of the group? And it meant a lot. And then February 5th, there was eight of our boys who worked at Winrock Farms were returning from work and were hit by a tractor-trailer rig. And five of them were killed and three of them were hospitalized. And that was 2 days after the lodge burning down.
So the lodge is gone. The things have turned.
The members are gone, yes.
Some things have gone south. And I guess now that I think about it, they literally go south.
Yes, they go to Greer's Ferry, which at the time was an even smaller community called Westside. Mm. And they really started to make an impact there. But things didn't go very well. And I talked to financial advisor John Barnes, who became involved, not involved with them, but actually bought their newspaper when they left Greer's Ferry. But he talks a little bit about what he knew about their time and not so successful time in Greer's Ferry.
They came into Greer's Ferry and really started to do things that could help the community. Like they started a volunteer ambulance service. They had a very successful dinner theater, and I think they were trying to form a chamber of commerce. And Cleburne County, because of the Greer's Ferry Lake, was going through a lot of changes, and those people that were native to the county was having a little difficult time adjusting to all of these newcomers coming in. And the group, though their efforts, you know, were positive and they were trying to do good for the community, the longtime residents got a little nervous about it, and there was an incident, and the incident caused the group to decide to relocate in to Little Rock, started divesting of their businesses.
You know, Randy, I grew up in a small town in Arkansas, and, you know, outsiders are looked on with, I guess, what I would call suspicion, and especially if more than one or two come at the same time, and it just didn't take off in Greer's Ferry.
Right. And, you know, I was looking at an article from 73 from the New York Times, and it was described as a night riding incident.
Yeah.
There were gunshots, 10 gunshot holes in a building. 100 stones were thrown at their building. Considerable damage was done. 23 people from the town were arrested. Mm. Because of it. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, they owned seven businesses. They started the first Chamber of Commerce and the first Optimist Club in that town. And they just, you know, they weren't wanted, which is really sad.
When you hear, you know, on the surface, a story about, you know, this group comes in and people are suspicious, it can sound a little unnerving or scary, but then when you hear they wanted to start a chamber of commerce in an Optimist Club, that sounds a little less intimidating.
And some of them were Boy Scout and Girl Scout leaders, and they were members of the Baptist and Methodist churches. And, you know, it's just, it was really unfortunate that it happened that way. And again, Channel 7, KATV, talked to Dixon Bowles, and he was very optimistic about it, or what they were, how they dealt with it.
As to why it happened, there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding in a community about the nature of the group incorporated. We haven't been able, I don't think, to make it clear to a certain number of people what it is that we're doing or why. And unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot of people among this antagonistic group that seemed willing to listen. We held a meeting last Wednesday, and this is something that's been going on for a while. We held a meeting last Wednesday with the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce and several ministers in the area, and to try to find some way to build a bridge. You know, it's one thing to discuss a problem, but it requires listeners as well as talkers, and we as yet haven't been successful in doing that. Basically, I think there's a lot of misinformation and a tremendous amount of misunderstanding.
So they leave Greer's Ferry and they go to
Little Rock, and they're here to this day. They moved to Little Rock. They buy some property and homes in the Quapaw area of downtown Little Rock. Continued to grow, and then in the early 80s, Dixon Bowles started developing computer software, and the result ended up being, in the early 90s, Aristotle, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yes, a major internet provider and web designer, and it's still thriving to this day. You know, they've really made an impact on the state, and it was just this group of singers, the Dan Blocker Singers, who gathered some friends and came to Arkansas for, financial opportunity. And it ended up, you know, they had some hardships, but it really paid off. I talked to Jim Pitcock about sort of his impressions of them, you know, the whole idea of hippie or whatever. And this is sort of how he summed them up.
They were all very intelligent, and they are all very clean cut. And Randy, they really had the knack for making money, and they still have it today.
Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Just put into a search engine Pryor Center, you'll have hours, if not days, of entertainment and interesting history ahead of you. These archives digitized.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun. The archives are digitized. They're originally from KATV, except for the original interviews that Randy does for these segments. And this is all made possible through the Tyson Family Foundation gift to the Pryor Center. Randy, we don't know what we're going to be talking about in a week, but I'm sure it will be interesting.
I'll work on it. I'll see you in a week.